Good to be back at Gilead. I was here for 2 weeks in 2014. And man, that seemed like a lifetime ago. And since we were here, now we visited on a Wednesday night and a Sunday night in between there. But the Lord has blessed us as helpers in mission work to go to Kiribati. That's in the Central Pacific near the equator. We were there for 9 months. And it was hot every day. We got off the plane and it was air conditioned. We stepped on the... They didn't have jetways like we got here. They had a ramp. You walk down the ladder onto the tarmac. But the moment we got out of that plane and put our feet on that ladder, it's like you stepped into an oven. And it changed 9 months later when we went back up that ladder and got on the airplane again. We was in an oven for 9 months. And then the Lord blessed us to go and work in New Zealand about a year and a half after that. And we went and served 3 months in New Zealand, let a missionary come home to the States, get help. And then we went from there to Fiji just for a weekend, worked in the church there, and then flew back to Kiribati for 6 weeks. And we went back to Fiji, helped for 3 months in a work over there. Now, when you think of Fiji, everybody thinks of the resorts. We was about 2 hours from them in the middle of a jungle, it seemed. Very third world. But the Lord has used us in ways I can't just believe. I mean, when we went into missions, we didn't know how it was going to work. And I asked my pastor one day, Brother Caudill, I said, how are we going to know where we're going? He said, the Lord will tell you. The Lord will show you. And so this year, January and February, we were in Beulah, North Dakota, 30 degrees below zero. And I asked the head deacon there without a pastor, I said, when do y'all call church off? You know, when the weather gets bad. He said, we hadn't yet. I said, okay, that's all I need to know. I love that little town. No traffic, no red lights. Got a couple of four-way stops and about 2,000, 3,000 people in the town, about 30,000 in the county. But beautiful church right on the main thoroughfare coming into town. And if it was in Georgia, I might be a pastor. But and then we came back. We were supposed to go to Croatia. Leave in August, and COVID killed that. And then we were going back out to Arizona. We'd been there before to help a missionary, and he couldn't have his operation because of COVID. So that got canceled, but he had it last Wednesday. And so there's a missionary there now helping him for 3 weeks. We're going after we finish here. These 2 weeks, and we're going out there for 3 or 4 weeks and help him until he's ready to get back in the pulpit. So you pray for us. The Lord has done some wonderful things for us. And I don't have any sob stories tonight. He's been so good to me. I grew up in Macon. I lived in the peach orchard over there off of Broadway in that area. And, you know, there wasn't a peach tree in that place, as far as I know, but it was called the Peach Orchard. They tell me there was a peach orchard there one time and a tornado took it out, but I don't know that. That was before my time. But grew up over there and I was raised in Macedonia. Now it's called Victory Baptist Church. But I went to Gilead Christian Academy in my 11th grade year. And I had Miss Pat Hayes. She helped me so much. and Mrs. Jenkins was my 11th grade English teacher. So if I don't speak right tonight, blame her. But I enjoyed going to school there. And went to summer school, took 12th grade English, and got out. And I wish I'd have stayed for the 12th grade now. You know what you ought to do after you've already forfeited your opportunity to do it. But I'm glad that the Lord has always been by our side. I got saved when I was 13 years old, called to preach as a teenager, and worked in church music for 30 years, helping churches get the right kind of music. I love good music. And after 30 years in the music business, the Lord called me into missions to be a help to missionaries. And so we get to go and help pastors and mission works. And we've helped a new church plant. We've helped preachers who are starting churches. And what a blessing it is just to serve the Lord anywhere you can. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. The book of Romans can be divided into three sections. The first 8 chapters are doctrinal. It's where the doctrines, great doctrines of the Bible, are explained and brought forth. The doctrine of justification. The doctrine of sin is introduced to us. It's introduced in other places, but it's nailed down in Romans when the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But then we know the great verse of salvation. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. If you'll call, He will save Amen. You. And there's nobody that is exempt from that. If you go to heaven, you're going by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Or you will not go at all, because He paid the price. And so the book of Romans, in those first 8 chapters, gives us doctrine. And then you have 3 chapters, 9, 10, and 11, where it's more or less a parenthesis. But Paul leads off with doctrinal teaching and deals with the nation of Israel. And so if you take any of those 3 chapters and try to make them fit to anybody but Israel, other than a general application, you're making a mistake. But in a general application, they can apply to the church as well. But then in chapters 12 through 16, we have the practical part of the doctrinal. You know, you can have all the doctrine you want, but if it doesn't get to your feet and have you move because of the duty, then the doctrine won't do you much good. It's just head knowledge. But the doctrine should be put into practice, and that's what Paul is telling us in chapters 12 through 16. But I don't want to preach the whole book tonight. I just want to preach to you a little while out of chapter number 1. If you'll look there with me, Brother Robert asked me if I was going to sing. Well, I usually do at some point in time in the message. So you'll be anticipating that.
Amen.
But if you'll stand with me, we're going to read a few verses here in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, beginning in verse number 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Thank you. You may be seated. Father, we do love you tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the wonderful, Word of God, that we can open and read Your letters to us.
Yes.
And Lord, You sent it by Your Holy Spirit. You moved upon the hearts of men to record it for us. And Lord, we have this collection that is called the Bible. And we love it. We're thankful for it. It is our guide to life.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray that You'll help us tonight to open this book and to read from it and to glean from it those necessary things, our food, our spiritual food, that we might grow thereby and be a help and a blessing to others that we come in contact with. Thank You again for this place. What a special place Gilead Baptist Church is. And thank You for their good pastor and his dear wife. I pray, Lord, tonight that You will refresh them on their vacation and help them, Lord, to gain the strength that they need to be refired and refreshed to the work You have called them to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Paul. Now that's an interesting name if you just didn't even know the story behind it. But Paul, he once was called Saul. He's a very interesting person when you look at the Bible. He was an enemy of the church. He was a persecutor of the brethren. And if anybody can be used of God like Paul has been used of God, then we all have no excuse. Because where he was brought from was a very serious place. Paul. I love the name Paul because of how the Bible has brought this back. God changed his name. And God brought him from where he was to where he is. And thank the Lord that we have that blessing of having most of what we call the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. So Paul was a very interesting fellow. I want to give you some things tonight that about Paul that we all can use to realize in our lives. First of all, I want you to see here in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a greater title that one could have than to be called the servant of Jesus Christ. What a great privilege. What a great honor. Now, the world would look at that word servant and say, oh no, we don't want no part of that. We don't want to be called a servant because it has such a bad connotation. But really what is being said here in verse number 1, when you study the word there, the word in the Greek is this word, doulos. And I'm not a Greek scholar. I read that somewhere. And I'm not forever trying to go back and bring the original Greek out either. I believe what we have in our King James Bibles good enough for the English people. But a doulos, that means a slave. When you think about that, Paul didn't say, I'm a slave, but that's what he meant. Because our King James English version says servant. But the word is actually bondservant. A bondservant in the Bible days, when they had served their time, they were slaves to their owner. But when they had served all their time out, and it was time to let them go, they could choose to stay with their master. And so the master would then take an awl and bore their ear. And that would signify that they were bond slaves for the rest of their life. They were a doulos. Paul is saying here, I'm a doulos. Why? Because he remembers what he used to be. This man, Paul, when he was Saul, was a murderer. He was a persecutor. God took a murderer and made him a great missionary. God took a persecutor of the brethren and made him a preacher of the gospel. God did that. So Paul says here in verse number 1, I'm a servant. And you know what a servant has. Number 1, a servant has a master. And Paul said, I've got a great master. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I gladly serve Him. I want to be His servant. So much so that I am so indebted to Him for what He's done in my life. And we don't look at that the same today. But every one of us who are saved, the Bible tells us we have been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for us on the cross. He paid for us. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So when Paul says, I'm a servant, every one of us who are saved should realize we are servants. I am a servant tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that I'm in that number. I'm thankful tonight that I can say to you, I serve Him willingly. I was 53 years old, Brother Robert, when the Lord impressed upon me, you need to stop selling music and start serving me on the mission field. I looked around to see if anybody else was hearing what I was hearing. Because I really didn't feel like I was qualified. There was nobody else there. I mean, He was talking to me. And I said, Lord, I knew what He wanted us to do, to help missionaries, to be moving all the time. And I thought, my, I know my wife. She likes to be stable. She likes stability. She likes to be home. But we move all the time. And so I said, Lord, I'll do it, but you're going to have to tell Denise. She'll think I'm crazy. We're sitting in church. Our church has 4 rows of pews. And we always sat on the very front pew at our church on the middle aisle on this side. And that Sunday morning, Brother Stennett Ballou was preaching on missions, as only Brother Ballou could do it. And she hit the altar. I was 10 feet from her. But she was listening to another voice. And it was the Lord asking her if she still meant what she said 30 years ago. That we'd do anything He wanted us to do. And she said, I will, but you need to tell my husband. And that day on the way home from the nursing home, she looked at me and said, do you think we're doing what God wants us to do? I said, no. I've been waiting on Him to tell you. She said, He did tonight.
Amen.
And she said, we need to talk to Dr. Carl, our pastor. I said, let's don't be rushed about it. So about 2 months, we let it go. I called him on a Tuesday night. I said, preacher, we need to come talk to you. No preacher likes to have a call. Don't do Brother Holmes that way. Tell him what you want to talk to him about. I said, it's not bad, preacher. He said, what's it about? I said, it's not bad. We just need to talk to you. He said, "Well, come by the office after church Wednesday night." So he sat there and I said, "Brother Carl, can God use a 53-year-old man on the mission field?" He said, "Who is it?" I said, "It's me." He said, "Yes, sir, Brother Jerry." He said, "God can. But you got to go back to school." I'm 53 years old. And he said, "You need to go back to school." I said, "I figured you was going to say that." So that gave us another 2 years, I thought. We went to school every night for a year. If we weren't in church, we was in the books. And in 1 year, we did 2 years. And then we went to the mission board, and I thought, "Lord, if this mission board says you're not qualified, we're just going to stay at Canaan, just like we've been doing for 30 years. And they said, "We'll take you." And that's what we've been doing now for 10 years. 10 years this year. We've been going everywhere the Lord sends us. If the door's opened, we've gone in. There was one door that opened and I had to close that one. I'm telling you, you ever had one that said so and so and so and so, and don't open your doors, lock your doors, and don't go out. I thought, man, that's what we do. We invite people in, but they said, "Don't do that here." I said, "I think the Lord wants us to go somewhere else. Because we love people. Love being with people. I love being here tonight." Now, some of you don't look like you love being here, but I love being here tonight.
Amen.
Because we're God's people. We're God's children. And there's something about kinfolk. I stopped by this way this afternoon and saw my sister. She's 79. She'll be 80 soon. I stopped by. "Why do you do that?" "Because I love her. She's kinfolk." But I'm closer to some of my church family than I am my regular family. Why? They're kinfolk. I'm a servant tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gladly wear that title. Wherever He wants me to go, if I can get there, I'm going. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He had a master. Then notice he had a mission. Look what it says. Called to be an apostle. Now y'all know, you've seen it, if you got a television, or you've seen it on billboards, or you've seen it on church signs. There's a lot of people calling themselves apostles. But the biblical qualification for an apostle was you had to see with your physical eyes the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people say, "Well, Paul didn't." Yes, he did. He saw him on the Damascus Road. When that light shone down from heaven, he was eyeball to eyeball with the Savior. And he was called to be an apostle. And so an apostle simply means a sent one. Somebody that is sent. Somebody that has a mission for the Lord. I had a preacher one time say, "You're an apostle." I said, "Not in the biblical sense. Because I've seen the Lord by faith, but I ain't seen Him with my physical eyes." But in the sense that they are sent, we are. The church, the Lord separates us. Look at Acts 13, 1 and 2. The Lord separates, but the church sends. And the Lord makes it available. And so Paul had a mission. He had a master. He had a mission. And then he had a message. Look at it. Verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He's got a master. Called to be an apostle. He's got a mission. Separated unto the gospel of God. Paul, if anybody ever preached the gospel, it was the apostle Paul. Everywhere he went, He told what happened to him that day on the road to Damascus. Didn't matter if you was the king or you was a pauper. Paul said, let me tell you, that day on the way to Damascus, a light shone down from heaven and I saw the Lord. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord saved him and put him into the ministry. Paul had a message. What was his message? The gospel of God. He was separated from his past life of persecuting the church, and he was separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We have a lot of people, they love that word separation, Brother Huff. They are so separated. They are so far removed from everybody. But separation from something is good. But if you're not separated unto something else, which is the message, which is the gospel of God, it's no good. You can be as separated as you want to be, but if you don't have a heart for the lost, there's something wrong. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. And so he had a message. Now I want you to notice here in verses 2, 3, and 4 that he had something about his message that we need to see. Look at it with me. He was a man with a master. He was a man with a mission. He was a man with a message. But there was something about that message that we need to see tonight. And then we'll be on our way to the house. I often tell people, I'll let you out before the Waffle House closes. But I can't hardly say that when you're on a mission field in a foreign place. They don't even know what a Waffle House is. I said that in Kiribati. They don't have too many restaurants over there. And I say it out west here, and they don't know what Waffle House is. So I have to go around town, find me a 24-hour joint that I tell them I'm going to let you out before it closes. But I will let you out in just a few minutes. First of all, the message was provided by the Father. Look at it. Which He, who is that He? God, had promised afore by His prophets. The message is God's message. Amen. There in verse 1, Paul separated unto the gospel of God. God gave the message. God gave the message. Then number 2, it was not only provided by the Father, it was prophesied by the Scriptures. Look at it. He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You can start in Genesis chapter 1 and go through the whole Bible. The main character is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the theme of the Scriptures. Amen. The theme verse of Romans is found at verse 16. Look at that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the gospel, the message, was given. It was provided by God Himself. You know, when God walked in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day and fellowshipped with Adam, wouldn't that have been a wonderful time to be alive? And just to be right there with them. But then something happened. Sin came in. The old devil challenged the Word of God. And Eve was deceived and Adam sinned willfully. And then the Bible tells us that God came down, but Adam and Eve hid. I sort of think they had a daily appointment with the Lord, with God. And they missed their appointment that day. So God asked a question. Adam, Where art thou? And Adam said, we hid ourselves. And you know the story. When God asks a question, He never asks it because He needs information.
Right.
He already knows the answer.
Right.
He does it so we realize where we're at.
Right.
But God provided the gospel.
Amen.
God prophesied the gospel. Then look at verse number 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the cults have a problem with that. They want to tell you that Jesus was just a man. That Jesus was a Son of God, not the Son of God. But that's not what God said here concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. When Jesus walked on earth, He was 100% man. Now, before you throw me out of the church, at the very same time, He was 100% God. He was the God-man. You can't separate Him from one or the other. Now, He veiled His deity. But the Bible says here He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He had to be made flesh. The Bible tells us He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came to be one of us. And I'm so glad He did.
Yes.
There was something else He was made to be. The Bible tells us He was made to be sin. For us. Why did He have to be made sin, preacher? Because He had no sin. He was God. And God is perfect. God is holy. So God made Him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So He was made of the flesh. He was. This message that Paul had was presented by the Lord Jesus Christ. But then look at verse 4, the second part of that, and declared to be the Son of God with power.
Amen.
You know, they sent some people one time to arrest Him ahead of the time that they crucified Him. And they went back to the ones that had sent them, and they said, where's He at? They said, never a man spake like this man.
Right.
He was something else.
Amen.
They had never found anybody like Him. And so they didn't mess with Him that day. They couldn't have. It was not His time. And He told Pilate, He said, you couldn't do anything with Me if God didn't allow it.
That's right.
So He was made of the flesh, but He was declared to be the Son of God with power. One speaks of His humanity, and the other speaks of His deity. And you can't separate that. And if we were to be looking at Him tonight, we couldn't tell where one ended and the other started. Why? He was everything. He was 100% man and 100% God. He wasn't half man and half God. He wasn't 95% God and 5% man. He was every bit man and God. And so it was this message that Paul had was presented by God. And then let me give you one more thing. It was proven. Let me say, you can tell me a lot of things that maybe you'll say, I love you, Brother Smith. And as they used to say, talk is cheap. But let's prove it. Show it to me. Let me see it. Well, Jesus did that. Look at verse number 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
There's a tomb tonight that is empty.
Amen.
There are no bones in that grave.
Right.
Jesus got out of that grave. He rose from the dead.
Amen.
On that first Easter morning.
Right.
And listen, they'll try to tell you that somebody came and took him away. Not so. And they'll try to say, somebody rolled that stone out of the way. They didn't do it so he could get out. He was already out. They did it so we could go in and take a look. And so this evening, we have a Savior who is alive. He has all power. That's what the book of Matthew tells us in the Great Commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
One of these days, and it's not going to be very long, we're going to shuck out of here. We're leaving by way of the grave, or we're leaving by way of the rapture. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I prefer the rapture. But if the grave calls, I'm ready for that too. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
We have a great God tonight.
Yes.
And He loves us. And He wants the very best for us. And do you know Him tonight? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? If He is, you're His servant. And there's great things that come along with having a servant's attitude and a servant's disposition. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you've got a good servant's attitude tonight, it won't matter what people say about you. Because the Lord is good. Paul didn't go looking for the Hilton Hotel when he was sent to Rome. He first stopped by the jail. Because that's where he was going to wind up sooner or later. He knew it. Most of the towns he went to, he might have went by the jail to see where he was going to be living. But listen, that's why Paul could sing in the midnight hour. Because he knew the one that he was serving.